100th anniversary celebration in the years 1987 and 1988, Morehead State University is conducting a series of oral interviews with former students, staff, faculty members, and administrators. I am Audrey Jones, present director of the External Studies Program at Morehead State, and today's date is Tuesday, March 1, 1983. I am interviewing Beatrice Lewis, who first arrived on the campus in the spring of 1934. She began work as a cashier and general office secretary under Miss Jane Jenny Owens and continued to work in the business office until she retired in 1972, a total of 38 and one-half years. Bea, would you like to tell us something about your life before you arrived on the campus in 1934?
I attended Interstate Business College in preparation for a business position and worked at NDSU in the School of Pharmacy for 3.5 years before coming to Morehead.
Ah, what caused you to switch allegiances?
For one thing, I was a Minnesota resident. I was interested in Minnesota. I was offered a job at probably about $5 a month more than I was getting at SU, which probably was about $65. And I came over to Morehead at $70 a month.
In those days, that was a pretty good salary.
Yes,
it
indeed.
Doesn't sound like much today, but who was the head of Interstate Business College when you were there? Do you remember?
President Heilman.
Did you attend all day long?
It was a full-time. Yes, yes. In fact, I attended about 6 months a year for 2 years because I had to go home and help on the farm in the summertime.
I see. So it was one of those winter training kinds of things that a lot of young people in those days went through. Do you want to tell us a little bit about where you lived and your family?
My family lived in Holly, 1 mile north of Holly, and I attended the Holly schools. And I came from a family of 9 children, and all of them seven of the 9 have graduated or attended Morehead State.
Well, you're a real MSU family then, been loyal for many years. Tell me a little bit about the background of your parents.
My father's parents came from England during the days of the Religious Freedom War and settled just east of Holly, and my mother's parents came from the Canadian area, which I believe is now Nova Scotia, and both settled there. My grandfather, plumber, my mother's father, was in the Civil War, and I never knew my grandfathers, but I knew my grandmothers, so I never really found out very much about the grandfathers.
You mentioned once before we came on the mic here something about the Yeovil colony. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeovil.
Yeovil.
Yes.
Well, it's good you have me corrected here.
Yeovil from England.
England. Mm-hmm. What type of colony was this?
Well, it was that was the area in England that they came from.
I see. And these were basically Protestants that were rebelling against the
Church
of
England? Well, that was part of it. No work over there. A minister over there came to this part of the state of Minnesota and went back to England and told them that this is a wonderful country to come to.
I see.
So my grandfather Lewis and his wife and a couple of children came across in a boat.
Were they startled when they realized that the winters were a little tough?
I think they were disappointed that this wasn't the land of bread and honey like that was portrayed.
I think,
but they stayed here.
A lot of people had that same experience. I think they were told it was going to be marvelous, and it was marvelous in the long run. But those first years were very difficult, and obviously this was a difficult area with the weather being as severe as it is. How did you, can you tell me about your job interview with Dr. McLean?
Yes. I became acquainted with Miss Owens on a World's Fair bus trip to Chicago. And when the girl who was helping her at that time said that she was leaving her position, I was asked if I'd be interested in it. And so I came over and had an interview with President McLean. And
were you frightened?
I suppose so.
You'd already been on a college campus.
I'd been on a college campus, but I don't believe I'd ever been in a president's office before. But I worked for a man who was much tougher to work for than the people I came to work with.
Is that right? So that was a change for the better anyway. But you don't remember anything specifically about the interview?
No, they just told me about the college and what I was expected to do. I don't remember anything in particular other than he was a very gentle man.
Yes, so it was easy to talk with him, and you felt he was easy to work for then, evidently, too.
I highly respected him.
Usually the first years on a campus are pretty vivid. Do you remember what the campus looked like when you came onto the campus in 1934?
Yes. We had the circle at that time,
yes,
which was very much a part of our campus. And
I remember the circle. I was going to Concordia.
Oh, yes,
in 38-39.
We had Weld Hall. And the campus school, McLean Hall and Frick, and the heating plant, and the two dormitories. Mm-hmm. And pretty much all the rest of the buildings were built after I came here.
After you came. Did you have someone in charge of the grounds at that time? Was a lot done
with
flowers?
We had, if I could only remember his name, which I can't remember right now, but we did have a man who worked in the boiler room in the wintertime and took care of the campus in the summertime. And he was, we didn't have the extensive floral arrangements that we have now, but he was very proud of them and he did a very nice job.
Yes. He
we didn't have that many acres at that time either.
No, that's right. And he's just like all the rest of you. You often carried two or three heavy responsibilities, and there was a limit to how many hours that you had to spend on it. Could you describe, I've always been curious about the faculty room in McLean Hall, because that had long disappeared at the time that I came on the campus. Could you describe it for us?
It was a nicely laid out room with several very comfortable chairs, a couple of Davenports, and a place for people to come and hang their coats, and they didn't have much time for deliberating, but it was a nice place to sort of get yourself freshened up before going to some of the social events that were in McLean Hall at that time. Mm-hmm. The room that we really highly respected was Ingleside. And which is now the Mass Communications Office. I guess they call them offices. And when you went in there, you didn't go in there with your jeans or without a tie and so forth. That was our very...
That was
formal,
a special room.
Very formal room.
When was that lovely. Established then?
Well, that was established at the time the building was
built.
Yes.
But, and is that what you are referring to as the faculty room?
No.
No, that's a separate
this
room.
This is a separate
so
room.
So there were two rooms then for faculty.
This was a social room.
Yes. Was that what kind of decor? Was there heavy wood paneling or anything of that sort? Or was
Not
it fairly...
Not in particular, but it... just a nice, simple room. I had a fireplace at one end and a
piano?
Grand piano in there.
A grand piano?
Oh, yes. And nice carpeting on the floor, and it was well taken care of. We had the dishes from the kitchen across the hall were in simple taste, but everybody handled them carefully.
Now, was that open to the faculty all through the day, or was this only for special occasions?
This is just special occasions.
Special occasions.
This wasn't a lounge at
no.
all. It wasn't for formal affairs. They had...
Did they have teas there, regularly?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Were students
made
students welcome
could,
there?
Oh, yes, students could go there, but it wasn't a hangout.
No. Now, when they President McLean have a fall get-together for faculty and staff the way we still do today?
Yes, every fall they had a very formal reception for students. Mm-hmm. Faculty came, the ladies came in long dresses, and the people who were helping serve the refreshments, the tables were beautifully set, and went through a long receiving line. And
well, this was for faculty and students.
Yes.
A very formal reception. New faculty would go through the line.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. And the students came, and it was a reception for students and faculty. Mm-hmm. Everybody came.
How about a dinner for the faculty? Was there any time that the faculty got together, faculty and staff, that was separate from the students?
Oh, yes. They had formal dinners, but we would go over to the dormitory for dinners.
I see. So if you had a major
big meals, but they were over at the dormitories, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm.
The reception then would be in Ingleside.
Right.
Would it?
Mm-hmm.
Were there ever small recitals in Ingleside? Would a music faculty member, for example?
There could have been.
I was wondering why the grand piano, you know.
Well, furnish music for programs and so forth.
Yes. Well, we'll move on now a little bit to other, obviously Ingleside was in McLean.
Yes.
I understand that in those early days the college library was also in McLean.
Mm-hmm.
Where was that in the
on
building?
On the first floor at the east end of the building.
The east end of the building.
Down where the
where the bookstore is now then.
Yes.
Is that right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us anything about how often the library was used? Was it well used? Were students in there a lot? You were in the same building.
I was in the same building, but I was in the business office.
They didn't allow you to come down?
Oh, yes. I could go there anytime I wanted to, but I was too busy.
That's right. Where was the business office in McLean then?
On second floor on the northwest corner.
Is this about between Flora Frick and McLean now, or
this
was
is the northwest corner of McLean.
I see. So it actually in 1934 would have been down toward where the business building is, Bridges is now. Is that what you're talking
about? Oh, no.
No, not there.
Well, yes, over that way.
Over in that
yes,
way.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes.
Or a little maybe closer to the archway, or the arched part of McLean. It's all built in now. But you remember we have some
there's
sort
a big, there's
of, between Flora Frick and McLean, there's a sort
oh,
of
yes,
arched window.
Yes, but no, it's way down at the end.
Way down at
yes.
the end.
Mm-hmm. You come in the north entrance, and it just go upstairs, and it was and to the left.
And it was to the left up there. I see.
I think there's a large classroom there now.
Yes, yes, there is. It also had gymnasiums and swimming pools.
Oh, yes.
Where did...
where the computer center is now.
That's where. Where did the college, however, get the money to build a swimming pool in those days? I don't remember.
This was all done at the time that the legislature gave the money for McLean Hall and Campus School and Frick.
I see. So they did appropriate money for the swimming pool. I was going to say Concordia didn't have any swimming pool. And I was sitting here feeling envious that MSU had a swimming pool that early. In reading through some of the booklets about those early days, I've discovered that there are a great many organizations that were on the campus at that time that no longer function on the campus. Among these were the YMCA and the YWCA. Did you have any contact with any of those organizations?
Yes, shortly after I came here, the Dean of Women, Mabel Lumley, asked me to be the adult advisor for the YWCA. And I really can't remember how long I did it, but I enjoyed working with the girls and did it as long as I felt as though I had the time for it, because the work in the office was getting heavier and heavier, and I didn't feel justified in taking time from the office.
Well, how large about a group would the YW?
I can recall it, probably 30, 35, 40 girls.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a large group.
It was quite large, and...
Were there townspeople that functioned in that group also?
No.
This was totally separate. There was a YW in the
Fargo.
In Fargo also. So this was totally a Morehead State organization. Were there any other organizations that you have personal knowledge of that were formed in those early days?
Oh, yes, there were lots of them. We used to have organizations for the rural students, the rural student teachers, and not the, having thought of those for a long time.
Yes, it's hard to pull those back. Oh. Were all organizations fairly well attended in those days? That students were really active in the organizations?
I think that they were quite active because there weren't that many other attractions to keep, to take their time.
When you worked with the YWCA girls, were they? Was that mostly social? Did they have parties from time to time?
It was educational, religious, and social.
And social. All three of those things happened.
Yes.
Can you remember any particular activities that you did take part in?
Some of the activities, we used to have Vespers, Sunday afternoon Vespers on certain occasions, Easter time, Thanksgiving time.
Do you mean the YW would have their own Vesper service?
We had a Vesper service that we invited the campus to come to.
I see.
And another organization that is no longer on the campus, which was a very important to all of us, is what we call the Euterpe Girls.
Oh, yes.
The Euterpe Girls would prepare a very elaborate Christmas program. Maud Wink was the director, and that was really the highlight of the Christmas season.
What type of program was that?
A public program.
Dancing, singing?
Oh, no, it was all singing.
It was all singing.
All singing, yes. She was in the music department and directed the choral groups.
Mm-hmm. Did you usually have good attendance from the town for
these?
We
had a lot of people.
A lot of people.
It was, and it was very beautifully done. She decorated the stage very elaborately, and the girls all came in their long dresses. And a beautiful program. And you never wanted to miss it.
No. Where was it held?
In Weld Hall.
This was held in the auditorium in Weld Hall.
Mm-hmm. And afterwards, there would be a social hour for all the faculty members in coming over to Ingleside. And the faculty would have the room very beautifully decorated and have various committees. And that, too, we sort of thought of that as being our Christmas card to each one to go and greet them. The Merry Christmas at that particular function.
Mm-hmm. Did you usually have a tree in Ingleside?
Oh, yes. There were lots of trees around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You mentioned when I was talking with you just before the interview that you were a patroness for SAI. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that organization?
SAI, or Sigma Alpha Iota, is a musical fraternity for the young women in music. And they have patronesses who assist them in whatever way they can. And the patronesses of Gamma Xi Chapter usually entertain them about six times a year in their homes. And the girls give musicales. And it gives us an opportunity to keep in touch with the college students.
I suppose you work very closely with the music faculty then. Was any girl on the campus able to join SAI?
No. There are stipulations that you have to have so many credits and be a major or minor and all these various qualifications. Mm-hmm. It's an invitation
type of
thing.
Yes. How about when that began on the campus? Do you have any idea?
That I can't tell you.
Was it going when you arrived?
Oh, yes. And it's been going in the Fargo-Moorhead area for many years because there's the chapter at SU, and May 1st of each year we have what we call a May Day breakfast, and we go over there and have breakfast with the patronesses and the alumni and active members of the two schools. And we've been having 60, for 60 years now, for over 60 years that has been going on. But our chapter isn't that old. I think at this point it'd be well to record the fact that Mildred Holstead, who is now deceased, was the first advisor of the SAI group. And she earned much credit in the fashion in which it was organized and kept the girls together.
Do you still keep in contact with any of those young women?
We try to.
That's right. It's once they move away, it's hard to.
That is right. We had a reunion last summer that Donna Nix and I tried to organize at the during August when there was another reunion on the campus. But everybody is so busy with their own situations that I think we got 17 here. But it was great fun seeing those girls.
Oh, I imagine it was. It is hard to get people back. They have their own families. And
right.
Everybody's working nowadays. It makes it much harder. Tell me a little bit about chapel. I realize that it was required in those days.
Yes, it was. Very much so. Required to the extent that the business office staff had to take the roll every day.
What happened if someone wasn't there?
If it got to be a situation where they were skipping too much, they were reminded by administration that something had to be done about it. Of course, there were legitimate reasons, but we had to keep very strict. And it was a very nice affair. The President McLean always read a passage from the Bible, and he liked Isaiah very much. And every time I hear an Isaiah biblical passage, I think of President McLean. And there were times when the choirs would sing, or the bands would play, or the orchestra. They brought in outside speakers.
Were these speakers sometimes from out of town, or
mostly
from the community?
No, they'd be from out of town and community. And
I don't imagine you ever had
this was a daily thing.
A daily thing, every day.
And then it went to a weekly thing.
I see.
And then it expired.
Yes, I think the same thing happened on most campuses. Did you ever find that the students complained formally about being required? In those early days, probably not. They expected it.
I don't recall any particular incidents. Mm-hmm. I presume there was lots of griping. But I
even in 1934, there were a lot of students who complained
about it. Probably not quite as much as nowadays.
If they had a certain number of cuts, was there any particular punishment or?
Oh, I don't recall particular punishment, but there were reminders.
Yes. Did you react well to being required to go every day? How did you feel as staff?
Oh, that was my job.
That was your job. How about faculty?
They were required to be there, too. They marched in regular formal line of marching in.
I see.
We didn't take roll of the faculty.
No,
but
no. But they did all come in as a group.
Well, they were there as a group, yes.
Well, this, I suppose, was held in Weld Hall then also. And did they sit on the stage then, the faculty,
or in
the front rows?
The front rows.
I see. Who would normally be on the stage? Just the president and the...
Whoever was on the program.
I see. President and the speaker probably normally, or whatever group was performing. Did you ever... do you ever remember a time when the students were... noisy or rude and had to be chastised in the chapel?
No. Oh, I don't think so.
No.
I don't remember it.
I would imagine that would only have happened toward the end when it was gradually being given up. Or don't you remember that it ever happened then?
I don't remember any particularly unruly time in the chapel services.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe how, there was, but I remember the good and not the bad.
Not the bad, yes. I have a few memories of students becoming unruly in my own memory, but not at MSU. So MSU...
Well, MSU has the same kind of students as any other place.
Any other place. So they may have had a few bad moments, too.
Right.
It was very evident from some of the annuals that this was a very active campus in those early days as far as arts festivals, plays. Do you remember anything in particular that was vivid to you about those types of activities?
Yes, we had an active campus school, and they always put on plays, and our theater groups had plays. We had quite a few different people in the theater, and we had choir concerts, Euterpe concerts, and band concerts, orchestra.
Did you feel the groups were well prepared and...
As much as my knowledge of yes. these various things, mm-hmm. Everybody was out to do their very best mm-hmm. and put on a good performance.
How about guest artists? Did you bring in guest artists?
Yes, we had what we call lyceum courses in those days. And
these basically speakers or musicians?
Soloists, pianists, vocalists.
A good mixture.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Where did the funds come from these for these activities?
Through the activity fee. Mm-hmm. And I suppose a small admission charge, mm-hmm. as much as I can remember about.
Were they well attended? Did you feel that the faculty supported
it? Yes, I think the faculty and the students turned out very well. They realized this is part of their education, and if you didn't go to a symphony concert, how could you ever learn to appreciate symphony music and or whatever?
Yes, you feel this. The students really were encouraged.
Definitely encouraged.
To do this,
yes.
And the faculty were encouraged to take part also. Mm-hmm. Well, what if you didn't go?
Well, you might be reminded the next day. President McLean might come into the business office and say, well, Miss Owens, did you see Miss Lewis last night? Or something of the kind. And it kind of, other faculty members used to mention that, too, that he wasn't taking a role, but he knew where his faculty were.
That's right. He then expected the yes. support of the faculty at all of those things. Students weren't required, basically, to go to those.
Oh, no, but
they were expected to and encouraged
to
do so. Did you feel that many of the townspeople supported the various activities
yes.
also?
Yes, there were lots of people who came onto the campus.
How about the contests as far as basketball and football and... Were you the faculty expected to be at those also?
Oh, they wanted to be. Mm-hmm. There was lots of competition. And, of course, we had good competition between Concordia and Morehead State.
which has never died down, has it? It's gone on. It's gone on for a long time.
And,
but you felt, basically, I sense as you talk that there was a community here that mm-hmm. was pretty important to everybody. And sometimes it was voluntary, but and sometimes might have been pushed a little, but basically people didn't resent it. Is that what you...
I believe that's true, mm-hmm. and I thought that we had what you would call a family unit. Everybody wanted to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt very fortunate in those days that I was expected to go to faculty meetings.
Yes. Nice.
And went to the various social events. I was welcome, just like, but after the, there were only about four or five of us full-time office people on the campus. And then after the staffs began to get bigger, well, then we didn't do those things as much. I tried to continue as much as I could. And I have appreciated it in the latter years, that whenever anything is going on the campus, I'm invited.
Yes, that really is nice, isn't it? And that continues.
I continues
that family feeling, that
right,
sense of belonging.
I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. It is always hard to hold on to that as size increases,
right,
and very difficult. Were you very active in the town in the 30s and 40s?
Well, I didn't have time for that too much. I worked too many hours overtime on the job, and other than attending my church, I wasn't too involved until the latter years. And I became a member of a service club and gave my services in that direction, and through the service club began to get know the community better. But I was pretty much all on campus.
Do you feel that was pretty common with the faculty as well and with the other workers, that they pretty much, their social life was centered, their social life and their,
Well, pretty much of the small nucleus of office workers, yes. Mm-hmm. But after it became a larger unit, I didn't have that feeling.
No. What church did you attend?
Well, I have attended for quite a few years the First Congregational Church and also Grace Methodist, and I'm currently a member of Grace Methodist.
The Congregational Church was really thought of for many years, I think, sort of as the Morehead State Church. Were there many faculty and staff in the church?
There were quite a few mm-hmm. there, but then there were a lot of the Lutherans who went to Trinity.
I see. We just can't give one church.
Well, no, I don't think so. Because
no, I know that some of the early presidents
yes.
were Congregationalists,
yes.
but that
President
had already dissipated a little bit, mm-hmm. I suppose. Was McLean, Dr. McLean, a
yes,
Congregationalist?
Yes, he went to Congregational Church, mm-hmm. and President Snar did.
Mm-hmm. How about the Depression? Now, you came on campus really right in the middle of the Depression.
Toward the end of it, yes.
Did you find that this caused difficulties on the campus? You were working in the business office. Were students able to pay their bills?
It was pretty hard for them. You don't pay many big bills with 25 cents an hour employment.
That was the pay that they would get?
That was about what you earned. Mm-hmm. I remember one young chap who was on the football team who used to shovel snow for 35 cents an hour, and he was down and had the sidewalks cleaned off before anybody started moving, so his sidewalks were pretty clean. Mm-hmm. But that was the general pay rate back in those days.
Yes, that would be very difficult. Were there things like loans available to the students?
Not very many. We didn't have any federally subsidized loans. There was a very small loan fund, and
provided by the college.
Yes, but it had been built up by donations and so forth. But there wasn't very much money available. These people had to get out and earn money, and mm-hmm. and as I reflect upon the years, some of those people who work for those small bits are the ones who are some of our very loyal alums now.
Did you find that you had unpleasant situations sometimes as far as collecting the money due?
It was pretty hard for some of them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember President McLean used to dictate letters to these people asking for them to make their payments.
Right.
And I was the one who took the dictation in his office.
I see. Well, you certainly got to know quite a number of people well here. I know that you knew Jenny Owens very well, worked mm-hmm. for her for a while before you were separated into two offices. And she was a good friend, I understand, as well as a colleague.
And I lived with her for about 25 years in her home.
Could
I'm still living in the home that she bought across the street.
Is that